Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Renee's Book Talk, everyone. This is Thursday, April 30th, 2009. It's 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and I'm your host, Yolanda Renee. Coming to you live from Pennsylvania, home of the original zombie and proud of it, tonight's show is all about film, zombies, and our favorite film producer, Mike Lombardo. We'll be taking your calls at 347-215-9536. And remember, if you want to speak to Mike, you have to hit the one key on your phone so I can see your number on my switchboard and open your mic. I have a problem with my chat room. I cannot see the people in there, but Mike can, so he promises he will answer your questions as they come up. So please talk amongst yourselves and go ahead and type those questions in. Mike has an assistant who will help him to do that. Since we last spoke, Mike was working on his latest short called Room for Two. Tonight, we get to catch up with Mike and find out all the exciting things that have happened since our last discussion. This is one young man who's not been sitting still. Mike, welcome once again to Renee's Book Talk.
Glad to be here today. Howdy all you folks out there in Blog Talk land.
So tell us, what have you been up to?
I've been up to all sorts of good stuff. We've been, since Womb for Two was released, we finished that right after the last interview we did here on Blog Talk. That hit the internet and was fantastic. I mean, people really got a kick out of that. I learned a lot doing that, and then shortly after, I got involved with a horror author, Brian Keene, who I now started a production company called Drunken Tentacle Productions with myself, Brian Keene, Jeff Heimbach, Matt Blasey, Mike Antonio, and the lovely Lori Matuszewski. I think I pronounced that right. I have no idea. But we started a production company. I guess we'll be talking about that a little bit later. I've written a short story called Play Place, which you've obviously read. We made a new short, Dr. Blood Cinema Dungeon. I see that Ethan asked me if I have any new movies. That's the newest, is Dr. Blood Cinema Dungeon. That's up on our website and YouTube right now. You can check that out anytime. And that will also be playing at the Lancaster Film Festival, which is this Saturday, which is the next item of news that I have since the last time we spoke.
Ah. Boy, that is a mouthful, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Well, congratulations. You seem to be doing really well. How do you think it's going?
I think it's going extremely well. Actually, I keep hoping that I don't wake up and it was all some sort of bizarre drug-induced dream, because things are going far too well for me right now. Kind of scary, actually. Usually something terrible happens, but nothing has so far, except for meeting Jeff Heimbach. But, I mean, you know, you take the good with the bad.
Well, for some of the folks who don't know who Jeff Heimbach is, explain that.
Jeff Heimbach is one of the people from Drunken Tentacle. He's also the director of The Ties That Bind, which is the first short film based on Brian Keene's work. That's the first completed film at all of Brian Keene's work. And I've seen it, you know, premiered at the Garden State Film Festival. I thought it was pretty cool. I guarantee everyone out there that watches it is the best film adaptation of Brian Keene's The Ties That Bind you'll ever see. Unless, of course, you don't like it, and I promise you nothing. But that'll be playing at the Lancaster Area Film Festival as well. I think you should all go out and support Jeff and the inferior band for T-shirts he'll be selling, because they don't have glow-in-the-dark Dr. Chud on them. But, you know, we'll forgive him that just this once.
What is your role in this new production, Drunken Tentacle Productions?
My role in Drunken Tentacle, I will be writing my section of the script. We're going for a Tales from the Crypt style thing. We're going to do an anthology movie. I can't really say too much about it right now. Things are very, very early on. We're still submitting scripts, but we're going to be adapting several of Brian's short stories, and we have like a wraparound story. I'll be writing, obviously, a section of it. Serving as random crew members along with the rest of the Drunken Tentacle guys, and hopefully doing makeup. not quite sure what else is going to be happening with all of that, but at the moment, the only thing I can really say is that we're pushing for Brian Keene to play a role in the film. I hear there's a rumor going around. I can't really confirm or deny it, but he's going to be growing his hair out. And I hear that if he grows it out to shoulder length, he looks like an early 80s Elizabeth Hurley.
Sorry.
That's what
I'm out for. Okay, that's funny. That's very good. Tell us a little bit more about the projects that you've got coming out of Real Splatter Productions. I mean, you're busy with Drunken Tentacle Productions. How about Real Splatter Productions?
Well, Real Splatter. Sorry, I have laryngitis as of this morning, so I'm constantly drinking water for these interviews. So ignore the slurping noises you'll hear over the phone. Real Splatter, the next project we're going to be doing, hopefully, is called Long Paid. I don't know if I had talked about this last time, but it's a delightful story of a couple of young friends and some roadkill and cannibalism, which is what long pig means. But I can't really talk about that too much either because it'll give away the plot, but hopefully we'll be working on that. We have another short that I have written called The Abortionist that we may shoot at some point, and that one's definitely not for the easily offended and squeamish. I've heard people say that it was the funniest thing I've ever written, and a couple of people said it was the most horrendous thing I've ever written, at least morally speaking, so we'll have to see about that when we shoot it. But
wow.
We've got all sorts of stuff going on with Real Splatter. Drunken Tentacle's a very, very, very large side project, but don't worry, Real Splatter's not going anywhere. See, that was a double entendre. Man, I'm too funny today, let me tell you.
So you just got off work, right?
Oh, I just got off work at the pizza shop. It was a 9-hour shift today with laryngitis, so that was a fun day.
So with all this new stuff going on, does that mean you're going to be able to stop slinging pizza?
I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon, but we will see what is going on in this vlog. I'm sorry, the chat room just kind of changed on me, and now there's a whole bunch of stuff on here. Someone's got no sound. I'm a rat bastard. Sorry, okay, I'm going to have a little bit of trouble here keeping up with this chat room. It's not... Here we go. It's working again, sorry. I'm going to be working at the pizza shop for a while, I think. It pays the bills. I mean, Real Splatter isn't exactly... My buddy from Dragon Tentacle, Mike Antonio, you know, Gore Beast, he very wisely once said that Real Splatter is a non-profit organization, meaning that it makes no profit. So we're going to try to keep with that tradition of me spending all of my money making movies and not actually selling any of them. So the pizza shop is an integral part of that. Unless you folks out there are kind enough to purchase Real Splatter t-shirts, available at realsplatter.com for the low price of only $15, shipping and handling included, of course.
Excellent plug. Mm-hmm. Give everybody your website.
It is realsplatter.com. That is real with two E's, like a reel of film, and splatter is in a big, nasty blood splatter. We do not have Real Splatter with an A. A lot of people confuse the two. I'm not even sure if that's a real website or not. But definitely not that. We also have a MySpace, myspace.com/realsplatter, and, of course, twitter.com/realsplatter. If you want to see how much time I waste on the Internet every day instead of doing productive things, go on to Twitter and look at my inane ramblings.
You do. I've noticed you do that quite a bit. So Twitter works pretty good for you?
Oh, yeah, Twitter is a fantastic, fantastic thing. It's also a very, very good way to kill productivity, but it's a lot of fun.
So you're a script writer, right?
Yes, I do occasionally write scripts.
And you're also now, or have you always been, a short story writer?
Well, I used to write short stories a lot when I was a kid in elementary school, and I'd like to think that since then my writing abilities have improved slightly. So if you watch my film, it's kind of arguable. But I wrote a little bit in high school, and then I kind of stopped because I just concentrated on writing scripts constantly. And just recently I decided to take the idea that I had for the story Playplace. I had had the idea for a couple of years, and I was going to write as a collaboration with my good buddy Mike James Milano. You'll see him in all the movies. He's a much better writer than I am, but he doesn't want to admit it, but he was going to collaborate with me, and the project kind of fell through, and a couple of years went by again, and some stuff was going on. I really needed to just, kind of have something to occupy my time, and I realized that I had several fantastic life experiences to draw on and throw into the story, which is kind of a big, it's about some, if, I'm going to start talking about play place now, in case no one out there has realized it. I'm going to skip around a little bit. Sorry.
Have you posted it yet?
I have not. I'm still figuring out what to do with it, actually.
Okay.
I don't know. And yes, Monroe Zombie, I can see the chat room. And no, Jeff, it's not funny. It's pathetic. I just wanted to mention that real quick. I'm going to probably make a PDF out of it, because I think that's since the internet download, like the, I'm sorry, the downloadable stories and stuff have been really popular, like the digital downloads of Kindle, everything seems to be the new direction that publishing is going in.
Right.
So I'm going to put it up on the website to download for free for the time being. And then I've had a couple people, like Jeff Heinrich and a few others, tell me that they think that I should try to get the story published because they thought that it was that good. So I was very flattered. So, you know, I'll find out what's going on with that. And, you know, maybe you guys will see it in print someday. It'd be very nice.
There's a lot of anthologies to put it into out there.
Oh, yeah, especially from our friends at Permutated Press, who only publish post-apocalyptic zombie novels. And most of them, unfortunately, aren't very good, so I think that mine would fit in perfectly.
Oh, you're so hilarious.
Thank you, Renee.
I like your attitude.
Expect the worst and hope for the best.
So tell us how writing a movie script is different from writing a short story.
Well, it's extremely different. When I'm writing a script, I have to really, you know, worry about what budgetary constraints and locations and stuff. I can't really write everything that I'd like to. You know, we can't write, you know, a massive like 4-decade epic that takes place in like, you know, medieval England or something. We don't have castles and stuff. We don't have horses, so we can't do any of that stuff. But if I chose to write, you know, the sequel to Braveheart for some reason, I could just write it as a story and I wouldn't have to worry about it. You know, you can take someone to the moon for the cost of a ream of paper when you're writing a story. And at this point in my life, you know, with Real Splatter, it was really nice just to be able to let loose and write play place the way that I really envisioned it instead of having to worry about what we could shoot. The story, for those of you who don't know, is about a McDonald's employee who becomes trapped in the play place during a zombie apocalypse and all the hilarious hijinks that ensue. So obviously I would never be able to shoot that because the play place is a very, very large construct that I don't own. And McDonald's isn't very friendly about letting people shoot there. So the idea is pretty much impossible to film at this point. So when I wrote the story, I could just go with it. You know, anything that I wanted to have happen could happen. But if you read the story, you'll even notice that a lot of the action is very subdued and there really isn't, I mean, nothing really that spectacular happens just because I'm so used to writing to my abilities as a script writer. So, I mean, I even toned down the stuff in the story a little bit. So when I write future projects, hopefully I'll kind of break out of that and really go for it, have some cool action scenes and stuff like that.
Well, I thought it was an excellent piece.
Thank you. You're actually a character in it. Yolanda Renee actually makes a cameo as someone who plays a very pivotal role in the end. I'm not going to say anything more than that, but it's very cool.
And I really appreciate that. Thank you.
Hey, you have been a big inspiration to me, Renee. I was actually reading Murder, Madness, and Love, which is an excellent book that Yolanda wrote. And anyone who hasn't checked it out really should, because it's an excellent story. And I was reading that, which was one of the reasons I decided to start writing again. I said, you know what? She's doing it. I think that I can, too. And it was a very good thing. A lot of factors came together. A lot of people inspired me to write that story.
You put a lot of yourself into that story.
Oh, yeah. Some people would argue much more than I should. There was a lot of scenes in that book or story that were actually very difficult for me to write, but it was one of the most cathartic things I've ever done. I really got to deal with a lot of stuff that I had kind of floating around inside me, and I got it out and made me very happy.
That was one of the compliments I had on one of the reviews I had done on my book. The person said that it sounded like the individual had actually lived the story.
Oh, yeah, I could
definitely. That it was real, and I thought, that's good, that's great, I like that, okay. Because when you're writing fiction, everybody thinks it's all made up.
Oh, yeah, not even close, at least not in my experience.
No, there's always a piece of the author in there. There's a lot of the author, usually, in fiction, I think.
Oh, yeah, and when we shoot a real splatter movie, there's always a lot of me. There's also a lot of pieces of other people in there, too. And I mean that metaphorically and literally, of course.
Yeah.
But we seem to have a problem here. I don't know if you could fix this from your end, Renee, but it seems Gorby's can't get through. I don't know if he's trying to call in or if he's trying
If he's trying to call in, they have to hit the number one key on their phone or I will not see their number. It's a new thing with BTR. Once they've dialed the number in, hit one on your keypad, and it should come up on my switchboard.
Okay.
I apologize. I cannot see who is in the chat room, so I'm relying on you tonight, Mike, to give me some information there. But I do not see any other callers on the line. The call-in number is 347-215-9536. After you dial that, you should hear at least the show, and then hit the one key, and I will see your number and open your mic.
Okay, I just typed in to hit number one when you call in, and let's see here. We got some Rose Zombie telling us that I read Play Place while eating a Whopper at Burger King. I don't know if that's something that I would necessarily brag about, but, you know. He's actually another member of Drunken Tentacle. He is Matt Blasey. He's a very, very cool guy. When you mentioned that Pennsylvania was the home of the original Undead, Matt has actually, you're referring to Night of the Living Dead and all of the George Romero films, Matt is a friend of George Romero's and has been in two of his films. He was in Land of the Dead and his new one, the blank of the Dead. I'm not sure if they're just going to use Of the Dead or in a full title, but he unfortunately was not in Diary of the Dead, which is everybody's favorite George Romero zombie movie, because it was so fantastic and realistic. Right, Matt? And we can wait for the chat room to explode in angry hate mail in a second here when he hears me say that.
So did he give a review of your story?
He did. He said that he, quote, liked it because he read – I'm sorry, quote, I read it. I liked it a lot, buddy. That was after two, three weeks after I gave it to him. He kept saying, oh, yeah, I'll read it eventually. You know, I'm reading Freak Show by Brian Smith. But I'm going to put it down to read your story, buddy. And he didn't. He came up with various excuses, you know, like, I had to deal with this or that. He basically was blowing smoke up my ass. But eventually he lied to me and told me that he read it. So once I quiz him on the ending and all that stuff, we'll see if he actually read it or not. But, you know, you can never trust Matt Blasey. Never trust a man.
So with this new success of writing, you're going to continue doing it, right?
I would like to. I think that it turned out very well. Like I said, I was very surprised at my own ability to write. I hope that that's a general consensus among everyone who reads it. But the story kind of came out a lot better than I thought it would, so I'm definitely encouraged to write. The next story I'd like to write was actually another script that I would like to film, but it's impossible. It's called Hobo Maximus, which is about a group of people who kidnap the homeless and force them into massive gladiatorial combat matches. Sort of like the Romans, you know, we have, like, junkyard dogs pulling shopping carts for a chariot race, and all of their weapons and armor are made of trash can lids and shiz. Very, very down and dirty, gritty, nasty story that I would love to write. And hopefully, you know, we can do it. Matt Blasey wants to play Sarge in the big screen adaptation of Play Place. I think that he could probably pull it off. He's got the haircut.
That's a good character.
Sarge was based on, actually a lot of people talk about Sarge. Sarge is based partly on my brothers, who all three of them are in the Marines. And when they went to boot camp and everything, or actually before they went to boot camp, rather, their egos expanded, like, exponentially every day. And they were not exactly humble, let's say. And that type of thing really bothers me a lot with my brothers. I don't really get along with them very well. I mean, they're good now. They're cool since then, but Sarge, a lot of the stuff that Sarge says and the stuff that Aaron says to Sarge were actually direct quotes from me and my brothers going at it when we were younger. And everyone went to high school with a kid that acted like that. I mean, once everyone reads the story, they'll know exactly what I'm talking about. But he was just one of the – every character in that story actually was based off of real people that I either know very well or encountered. Like most of the victims actually at McDonald's were just random customers that I deal with, the Garganos, that – got unknown cameos in my story.
That's good. I was wondering, I was going to ask you, do you take your characters from some of the people you see, you know, in your regular work life? Because I know a lot of people just like to go to malls and places and sit and watch people to gather characters.
Oh, I sit and watch people in public places all the time. All the time. And, you know, occasionally I even use what I see in stories and movies and such. But most of the people that are in that story, like I said, Gargano's, I really think that people let their worst out when they're at a restaurant. And most of the people that read Playplace understood those characters were based on real people, but a few people said that they seemed like they were too exaggerated to be real, but most of that stuff, with the exception of the zombies eating them, was actually completely, like, accurate down to some of the things that they said. Like, people have done all sorts of stuff like that at Gargano's. They bring their children in and scream and run around and hurl soda at the floor and all sorts of terrible things.
Yeah, I believe you. I worked in as a waitress for several years when I was in high school. I remember.
My heart goes out to you, Renee. food service combat is a tough tour to serve.
Yeah, it plays havoc with your self-esteem. It sure does.
Oh, yeah. Well, it looks like Gorby's got all of his stuff worked out. It was a long, well-fought battle, he claims. So now he is, apparently he can hear, I'm guessing, and you emerge victorious. Okay, good. He's in. So we've worked out our technical issues for the moment.
Would you name off the people that are in the chat room for me?
I can do that. We've got Gorby's. We've got Gorby's, Geth 6684, one of my favorites. Rinho, which I believe is Corinne Hostetter from where I work. Some crazy woman named Yolanda Renee. Really handsome looking fellow named Mike Lombardo. Monroe Zombie, Guest 6487, Guest 6718. I'm glad you're here. Bamford 23 and Amber with two R's. I don't know if that's a typo or if that's intentional, but we have yet to see. I don't think she's typed in here yet, but so we've got a couple people in here.
Okay, I can see my chat room now.
Excellent. Howdy, Renee. Welcome to the chat.
Oh, that's great. Thanks, everybody, for being so patient. And I guess Blog Talk worked out all the bugs that were in the system. That's great.
Very cool. I wasn't doing a very good job of playing radio host. I apologize to everyone in that chat room.
No, they're doing fine. I can tell by their language, they're having a good time and enjoying the conversation. And at the we're not at the halfway point, but we are at the point where I'll say we're listening to Renee's Book Talk on Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Yolanda Renee. And tonight we're talking with Mike Lombardo, the producer of Real Splatter Films. And you can check his films out at realsplatter.com. That's R-E-E-L, splatter.com. Remember, call-in number is 347-215-9536. If you're calling in and listening and you want to talk to Mike, press the 1 key on your phone so I can see your number on the switchboard and open the mic. Okay, Mike, let's talk a little bit more about what you're doing at Real Splatter.
Well, we've got all sorts of, like I said, all sorts of good stuff coming up. There's actually been a lot of interest from people telling me that they want a Room for Two series. I'm not sure how realistic that would be, but, you know, if enough people were to harass me constantly on the Internet, see, saying that's a terrible idea, it's not going to happen. But, you know, it'd be something I'd look into maybe, but, you know, the first one took actually it took a year for me to finish it, so I don't know if there's going to be a sequel or another episode, rather, of the show, but that's always a possibility. I've been working on a lot of makeup effects lately, like gore stuff. I'm doing a full lower torso of somebody that gets bit in half for a project that I can't really talk about right now. I just built a tentacle for the you guys can see all those pictures are on the MySpace, myspace.com/realsplatter. I actually don't have that stuff over on the website because I'm very lazy. And my webmaster, Julie von Brunk, who is an excellent, excellent web designer, baronvonbrunk.com, for anyone who's interested in checking out his stuff. He makes cartoons. He has a lot of stuff going on, so it's very hard for him to constantly update the site with, like, the hundreds of pictures I take every day. So I just kind of upload them to the MySpace whenever I get the chance. So if you guys are on the MySpace, you can definitely check out all those awesome pictures of the new makeup effects I've been working on. Like my avatar, for instance, right now, that actually isn't me with kills scrawled across my chest and blood wearing a child swimming mask. That was actually a full 6'3" animatronic dummy that I made out of cotton balls, latex, and pantyhose, believe it or not.
Wow, you are talented, aren't you?
Oh, yeah. Fully remote controlled. You know, I've actually gotten some interest from Stan Winston's company. You still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, it just said that I was off the host queue. I was worried for a second there. I didn't know what that meant.
Okay, does the chat room still hear us? Because I can still see you. I can still hear you.
Hear us?
Okay, I guess so. No one's saying they can't.
I don't know. Maybe they just tuned out.
Okay. So what is your ultimate goal here? I mean, you write, you produce. You know, you write both short stories, maybe a novel in you somewhere, scripts. You're into the special effects as far as the makeup and that goes. I mean, what is your ultimate goal as far as what you want to be when you grow up?
My ultimate goal when I grow up, well, for one, I'd like to stay off of death row. I think we discussed this last time. Sorry, my throat is acting up. But, you know, provided the FBI doesn't scour my backyard, then we won't have a problem with that. So pending not getting arrested anytime soon, pretty much just to be able to live comfortably with a normal job, if possible, you know, be at the pizza shop or whatever else I end up doing, and being able to make the movies I want to make on the side. I mean, I'm not in this for money, and any independent filmmakers out there that are listening to this that think that they're going to make a lot of money making movies, then they need to slap themselves across the face right now and realize it's not going to happen. And that sounds incredibly cynical and terrible to say, but it's a sad fact there's not much money in independent cinema. So if you're going to do it, you got to do it because you love it. And that, on a related note, is the best advice I could give anybody that wants to do what I'm doing right now. But basically, it's just my goal is just to have fun. I mean, I really love doing this sort of thing. I've loved it since I was a kid, and I finally found the perfect outlet for all of the blacked-out, nonsensical ideas that come into my head from the voices that speak to me at night. So that's what I entertain people.
So do you think that you're so diversified in talent because there's not a lot of money to be made in it?
Yeah, that's actually the reason I learned how to do most of this stuff since I was a kid, because I realized that I wouldn't have any cash to hire, like, talented professionals. So I decided to figure out what to do with cotton balls and latex and pantyhose, and I kind of learned how to build it all myself. And then that unknowingly made me a valuable asset to other independent filmmakers that didn't have the, you know, they had the privilege to go to film school, and they learned the technical aspects of filmmaking as opposed to the guerrilla tactics that I had been learning. So when I talk to people online, it's a really good mix where they teach me how to actually do things, and then when they're, you know, tried and true methods fail, then I can tell them how to do it the ghetto way. And that generally works out. So, I mean, I'm really excited to see what happens on the Drunken Pentacle set, because this sort of thing is going to, I think it's going to be a good mix. And I believe that Gorebeast and Bamford, who are in the chat room, I think that they actually went to film school. I'm not sure. Judging by Bamford's movies, I doubt it. But, so I think that it'll be an interesting mix between, because, you know, I'm in doing the backyard thing, and he, you know, those guys actually know what they're doing. So we'll kind of combine our talents and see what happens. I don't think that actually answered any of the questions you asked me. I think that was just a completely unrelated ramble. What were we talking about?
We were talking about why you diversified your talents.
Oh, yeah. Diversified my talents, all that stuff. Yeah, I just kind of learned how to do it. Plus, I mean, I just really love making stuff. That's been, like, a passion of mine since I was a kid, just working on things and having an end product to play with and hold and all that. Yeah. Like the tentacle and building props and just all sorts of stuff like that. It's, I mean, that's 60% of why I love making movies, is just building props and learning how to spray stuff with blood and everything. I just get a kick out of it.
Now, do you ever see yourself going over to the California side of the country where a lot of this is already done, or has movies moved basically to the west, East Coast, I mean?
I was actually just out in California with my cousin Mace. For all those Buffy the Vampire Buffy the Vampire Slayer fans out there, I'm not going to name any names, Gorebeast, who loves watching that show. My cousin Mace is actually an actor in two of the episodes. He played a vampire. So he's actually like a real deal actor, as evidenced by the fact he was in Buffy the Vampire Slayer. And he was trying to convince me to move out there with him so he could get me a job as a production assistant working on sets and all that. And I considered it briefly. I actually did that over the summer. And well, stutter, much, Mike, hey, gore beast, eat shit. Sorry. So we went we went to the my buddy Evan, Candlejack. Everyone say hi to Evan John. He was the sexiest man this side of the Mississippi. we went out to California. I stayed with him for about a week. He was filming an independent movie called Off Hollywood, and I actually got to be in it. I came up with a couple jokes for it, and I ended up being doing a cameo, actually, where I was a ball-gagged hospital patient who was anally violated by a sexy nurse in a porno film.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah, if you go into MySpace, you can see the pictures of that stuff, too. There's mercifully, there's no nudity on my part, so those pictures are safe and won't make anyone throw up too terribly. But I went out to California, and yes, even they do have blondes in California. And after a week in the sun, I'll tell you, I had some sweet strawberry curls going on. Let me tell you.
Well, I finally see a caller online, so I'm going to open their mic and see if they want to speak to you, okay?
All right, let's hope.
All right, here we go. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Mike, I hate you so much.
Hey, is this Jeff Heimbuch?
Of course it's Jeff Heimbuch.
You hate me. How could you hate adorable little me, Jeff?
10 minutes into the show, you're already bashing me. It didn't take you that long today.
I'm blazing a path for your future film career. I'm plugging constantly. I mean, you know, I don't even know what to say. I feel betrayed. This is the thanks that I get for telling everyone that The Ties That Bind is the best adaptation of The Ties That Bind we'll ever see.
I wouldn't go that far, but
who didn't hear that part? He didn't hear that part, right? All you heard was the criticism.
Yeah. I'd say it's the second best.
I'm working on my own solo project of The Ties That Bind, but mine's going to be much, much better. It's not going to have that Kevin Indonato asshole, whatever his name is. I mean, granted, the guy should definitely wash him, but, I mean, come on. His haircut's not fooling anyone. That's all I'm going to say.
It's a wig, actually. We had to buy it for the film.
Really?
Yes.
I can tell. But, I mean, honestly, I think that the real person that stole the show on that was Lori as the prairie dog and zombie. The zombie Barbie in our in the chat room here is going to love me for that one.
Well, the reason she did that was because we didn't let her go to the bathroom beforehand, so
that's a great lesson in independent film. Your actors are not allowed to do anything that's going to potentially make them comfortable. You need to make them freeze, get dirty, covered in blood, not go to the bathroom, not being fed. I think that Walt Huntinger, Phil's father, Ethan on here, I believe, he was on the set of Demonstration of the Dead, and he knows how freezing cold it was. We were waiting for hail, and we had 30 people with nothing, you know, no blankets or anything, just covered in blood, freezing their ass off, not being fed, and, you know, thankfully no one caused a mutiny and tried to kill me that day, but that's just all in the life of an independent filmmaker.
Well, basically, you can't treat your actors like humans when you're using them. I mean, you have to treat them like animals to get what you need, so.
Is that
just for zombies, or is that for any show?
Oh, zombies. Oh, no.
No.
Zombies you treat wonderfully. They have to eat corn syrup and latex and all sorts of nasty stuff.
So it's the victims you treat badly.
Oh, yeah. Like, if I were to put you in a movie, forget about it. You'd have a miserable time. I guarantee it.
Okay, then I won't ask to be put in any of your movies.
Yeah, well, we had J.F. Gonzalez, another fantastic horror author, out for Dr. Blood Cinema Dungeon. He did a cameo. We had him locked in medieval stocks for, like, 2 hours. I got blood in his eyes. I think a couple times I slapped him across the face because he wasn't doing what I wanted to. We actually dangled some food in front of his face for a while because he hadn't eaten all day just to screw with him because he was locked in there and he couldn't get out, but that's just par for the course on a real splatter set. You know, we like to go au naturel with our torment.
So where do you get all these zombies?
Well, you could ask Blasphemy in the chat room. She was one of them that got suckered into being, apparently she had to pee in the bushes. That's how animalistic things get. she showed up because she is a very good friend of mine who is excellent and awesome. And all the people that showed up to those shoots are way too good to me. I just put out flyers in MySpace bulletins, and then people you know, thinking that it's going to be a glamorous shoot, they're like, wow, I get to be in a real independent film with Mike Lombardo, the visionary director of Demonstration of the Dead and Womb for Two. And, you know, I just use my status to trick people into thinking that we're legit. And, you know, they come out to the set, and it's just terrible. And, you know, by that point, they're like, well, I already drove 20 minutes. You know, if I leave now, I'm still, you know, I had wasted half my day anyway. So they just kind of hang out and do what I need them to do. And I'll be immortalized on YouTube at some point if anyone really cares to watch it.
Well, we've got another caller online. I'm going to open their mic.
Good, since I'm done talking to Jeff. He's an asshole.
I hate you, Mike. Shut up.
You're on the air. Go ahead.
I'm on the air?
Yes, you are.
Nice. Mike, what's
Hello?
Going on? It's Evan.
Hey, what's going on, Evan?
Not too much. Just wanted to give you some props from Florida while I'm here.
Excellent. Evan is a good buddy of ours. He is one of the reasons that some of the recent Real Splatter projects got finished, because he bitched me every time he came up to visit that I didn't get them finished. Like Womb
He plans shoots around my visits to make sure that I never make it in any movie. He's like, oh, you're leaving tomorrow? That's when we're shooting.
There's a reason for that. If anyone here has seen Chainsaw Chink vs. Santa Claus and watched Evan's portrayal of Adolf Hitler, they'd know why we don't put him in movies anymore. But
well, oh, and you put Milano in all of them? Are you kidding me? Because he is clearly an actor.
Oh, yeah. Well, Milano is more like the Marlon Brando of Real Splatter, in that...
I thought that was you.
Well, I did put a bucket over my head and refused to take it off for an entire scene, but that's just because I was being pouty. Milano, on the other hand, is Milano has a deep, like, Orson Welles voice, and he's, like, a powerhouse actor. He's very, very difficult to deal with. He doesn't want to be in any movies. I don't know why, because he's a fantastic actor, and I wish that he would do more, but Milano is also working third shift, so every time he appears in a Real Splatter movie, he's been up for over 24 hours. So that might explain why he's a bit angry at me covering
that. That makes him better.
Well,
yeah,
we've got some requests from the chat room. They don't think we're talking about the Lancaster Film Festival, so I think we better get to that.
Oh, okay. We will talk about the Lancaster County Film Festival. The Lancaster County Film Festival is happening this Saturday. The doors open at 6 o'clock. It's going to be at Liberty Place, which is right behind the Clipper Stadium. They will be playing Womb for Two, Dr. Blood, Cinema Dungeon, Demonstration of the Dead, The Ties That Bind from Heimbeck, who you just unfortunately heard from. And Gore Beast will have some movies playing. They'll Never Get Me and Elkins Undead from his company, Hollywood Kane Productions. There'll be like 33 other movies playing, I think, something like that. It's going to be like a 4-hour event, 3 screens. Brian Keene and Jeff Gonzalez are kind enough to grace us with their presence. So they'll be there signing books and kissing babies and doing other stuff that mid-list horror authors do. It's going to be a lot of fun. Tickets are $15. The movies start at 7:15, I believe. Real Splatter will be there in full force, along with the entire Drunken Chemical crew. So if you want to meet any of us or slap me across the face for being such a horrible person, then, you know, that'd be the time to do it.
You're going to be in costume, too, aren't you?
Oh, of course I'm going to be in costume. I will be... I'm not even sure what I'm going to be dressed as, actually. It depends on if I run across anybody, victims, on the way that might alter my dressing choice. But at the moment, I'm thinking about wearing 9-inch stilettos and a nice skin suit that I made the other day. But I'm not quite sure. I don't know if there's no dress code, as far as I know, for anyone that's wondering out there. So you guys can feel free to dress in your best Real Splatter t-shirt, because they're mandatory, by the way. But don't worry, we will have them at the event for sale, so, you know, you can enter the festival naked, and then we'll clothe you with Real Splatter stuff for only $15.
Somebody wants to know if there's an open invitation to slap you.
An open invitation to slap me? That depends on who it is and how much they're willing to pay.
Of course, it's Lori.
Lori? Yeah, you can do it, Lori. That's okay. Lori's a sweetheart, so I will accept a beating from her.
Now, it says in the information you sent me that you're also a judge. What are you judging?
I am judging everyone else's movies, because, as we all know, I am the perfect person to judge other people's work, because I have such fantastic taste.
And lies.
When you're an expert, that's what you do, right?
Oh, of course. And when I become an expert, I'll let you know. But until then, I somehow got put on the judges panel. What happened originally is the people that are running the Lancaster County Film Festival, Brian Schaefer, who was an old buddy of mine from a movie called Bob and Neil that I helped out once the movie got canceled, but I was helping to do makeup effects and stuff. We met on the crew. But he emailed me and asked if he could play Womb for Two in Demonstration of the Dead, which I believe he was actually an extra in. But they loved those movies, and they wanted to play them at the festival. And then he said, you know, would you like to be a judge, too? And I was like, well, you know, what the hell, why not? So, you know, I had no idea that means I would be trudging through 10 hours of movies and giving them scores. But in the end, it was worth it, because most of the stuff that's playing at the festival was pretty cool, with the exception of, I don't know, some stupid movie about a 16-year-old fetus and some zombie protest bullshit. I don't know. I didn't like those, but the rest of them were pretty good.
So which one of your films is your favorite?
Which one of my movies is the favorite? Mm-hmm. I'd have to say, at the moment, probably Womb for Two, just because I think that movie, I got to really just go wild. I mean, that was probably the most outrageous thing we've ever done, and I had a lot of fun shooting it. But Demo of the Dead would be pretty close to one of my favorites, just because I got to work with Brian Keene for the first time, and that was a really awesome thing. And then, of course, my most recent project, Dr. Blood Cinema Dungeon, is really near and dear to my heart, just because it's me, literally me, sitting in front of the camera for 15 minutes rambling about how much I hate new horror movies. So that was a very cathartic thing. So I like them all for different reasons, but overall I'd say Womb for Two to end that inane ramble I just went on.
Everyone in the chat room is asking, who's Brian Keene?
Who is Brian Keene? Brian Keene is an author who, in certain photographs that we've seen, resembles a character from Plan 9 from Outer Space, and, surprisingly, an ostrich. I don't know how that works out, but he's a very, very strange man. But I think that the Drunken Tentacle crew could probably speak about Brian Keene better than I could. But
someone says, doesn't he write romance novels?
Romance? No, he actually writes Civil War novels.
Civil War novels.
Yeah, Civil War novels. But anyone that doesn't know Brian Keene for real, just really check out The Rising and City of the Dead, which are the two books that really, I think, made him popular. He also is credited with reinventing the zombie genre, along with the remake of Dawn of the Dead and 28 Days Later. So, you know, they should...
If you really want to talk to him, he can always crank call you.
Yeah, that's true. During the Drunken Tentacle Summit meeting, we started to crank call some people.
We almost had a fourth caller on the line. I opened the line, and then they hung up on me. So we'll see if we can get them to call back in.
Whoever out there just got tired or got scared, you should call back and harass me some more. Zombies rule is the consensus from the chat room. And Zombie King.
Okay, we've got another caller on the line. I've opened your mic.
Right.
You're on the air.
Hi, Mike.
Howdy.
Hey, I'm just wondering, do you get your influences from great directors of the likes of, like, Dario Argento and Quentin Tarantino by any chance?
That's got to be Matt.
Well, I think that to say that I would borrow from such cinematic gods as Quentin Tarantino and Dario Argento would be unfair, mainly just because Quentin Tarantino steals so much from other movies that, I mean, that's kind of like a... That's like life imitating art imitating life. You know, a whole metaphysical can of worms right there. I can't even really go into the filmmaking philosophy behind all that. But I have to say that no, I don't. In fact, most of my influences come from Lucio Fulci, a far superior Italian horror film director.
So you mean you just take pieces of other films, throw blood on them, film them, and call them your own?
Oh, then I take soundtracks from Western movies and throw those over top of it and then tell the story backwards for no reason and then release them to great critical acclaim. Yes.
Well, see, he actually does that well, so you're starting on the right path, correct?
You know, I'm done having this conversation with whoever you are. Of course, I have no idea. You know, if you could please cut this man off. He's offending my cinematic sensibilities.
Sounds like he's having fun doing it.
Well... We don't have fun on Renee's book talk. We're serious.
Yeah, we have fun, but we can only have fun behind closed doors in certain states.
Well, and for those who don't know, this is Matt Blasi, a.k.a. Monroe Zombie from Drunken Tentacle Productions.
That's me.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, he's also the guy that was in some of the Romero movies, and he loves Diary of the Dead for some reason, and I do not.
Nothing wrong with Diary of the Dead.
As a side note, he's also the guy that read Play 3 weeks after I sent it to him, for the record.
Well, we have another caller. I'm opening that mic
right
now.
Okay.
Go ahead. You're on the air.
Hey, this is Snuggles.
Hello?
Hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Is this Snuggles?
Oh, God.
Snuggle?
I was going to remember me from
Texas. Oh,
what?
I thought that you were dead. I'm sorry. I guess
you tried to kill me, but you couldn't.
Uh-huh. Ooh.
Anyways, ooh. I heard these rumors. T-shirts, you got them? If so, how do I acquire one?
T-shirts? Well, you can get the T-shirts off of realslider.com, or if you're feeling sassy, you can drive to Lancaster Area Film Festival this Saturday and buy them in person. And if you do that, I'll even autograph it for you. Not that
no,
I
heard
do anything.
I heard there's a sexy radioactive glow from plutonium. Is this true?
Yes, our T-shirts do glow in the dark. They are actually made from 100% recycled radioactive waste. Believe it or not, so we're very green at Real Splatter.
I like green. I like green.
He gets the cotton the cotton that's grown for him is raised right down by my house near the Three Mile Island.
That's good. That's good stuff. So how much would one of these cost?
The film festival will be selling them for $15 or two for $25, and on the website they're going to be $20 because I have to cover the shipping and because the United States Postal Service has lovingly upped their prices for shipping. I have to charge $5 instead of $3 for shipping like I used to. So for $20 you can get a glow-in-the-dark T-shirt off the website. At the moment we don't have them online yet, but we will, and our classic shirts are available for $15 on the website or $10 in person if you're interested in that.
What are my chances of getting cancer?
From the T-shirts or just in general? Because I think that cancer is actually a very high mortality rate in the United States.
Well, your T-shirts, I sort of want to die soon.
Oh, well, depending on how long...
I'm tired of working with you.
Yeah, if you've been in close contact or close proximity with me, then you're probably sterile right now, at the very least. If your hair isn't falling out in clumps, you're probably safe. But other than that, I really couldn't tell you. I'm not a doctor, at least not a licensed one.
All right, well, I'm going to have to buy 5 shirts when I come then.
Excellent.
Please all right. Thank you.
Thank you
Goodbye.
For the call. We
Thank
have
you.
Another
Bye.
Caller on the line. I've opened your mic. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Hey, Mike.
Hey.
Hey. It's Gorbeast.
Hello, Gorbeast. This is Mike Antonio, everybody. He is another member of Drunken Tentacle. It seems that these are the only people that care to talk to me for some reason.
I missed, like, first 20 minutes.
Oh, you missed the entire... I was actually reciting Shakespeare for the first 20 minutes.
Oh, man, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I missed that.
I'm sorry. Shakespeare in Love.
Okay.
I had a copy of the script.
Poetry is amazing. You wouldn't believe it.
Oh, yeah. I swiped a copy of the script from Shakespeare in Love from Monroe Zombie, Matt Blasio. I was at his house a couple weeks ago, actually with you, and I swiped it when he wasn't looking. He's got a whole room dedicated to Leonardo DiCaprio movies as well. I don't really know if that's going to happen, but no, we're not going to go in with all of that creepy nonsense.
Did you talk about Drunken Tentacle as much the first 20 minutes? I don't even know.
I have been rambling incessantly about Drunken Tentacle since the get-go. Isn't that right, Renee?
Yes, he has, but he won't tell us all the secrets.
Well, we can't tell everything.
Yeah, if I told you all the secrets, Keen would literally skin me alive. And I
he wouldn't be too happy.
Rabid Weasel.
Oh, I was going to say, that'd be an interesting movie.
Oh, it certainly would be. If Keen grew out his Shannon Elizabeth curls, then we'd really have an interesting movie while he did it. But, you know, Keen has a habit of upstaging, you know, he really upstages anyone else that's on screen when we film him for stuff. As you can see in Demonstration of the Dead, his line was just supposed to be, "Could you please leave my office?" And he pulls a gun on us, almost kills our main actor. You know, so he's a little bit unpredictable at times, so I don't think we're going to
be... He's a showboat.
So he likes to ad-lib, huh?
Oh, yeah. Ad-lib, badly act, you know, man's motto.
So tell me something. Is Drunken Tentacle Production going to produce Play Place?
I highly doubt it.
Why not?
Well,
it seems like an ideal thing to do.
It would be, but if Play Place is going to happen, it's going to happen with Real Splatter, mainly just because I don't want Brian Keene to touch it, because he has this really nasty habit of turning every literary work into crap whenever he gets near it. So, I want to distance myself from him as much as possible.
Probably a good idea.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, he's just, like I said, a very violent, unpredictable man, and it's, you know, I'm really...
He kind of brings everybody down.
Oh, she definitely does. I'm actually only a member of Drunken Tentacle just so I can hang out with Lori, because she's the only nice one out of the bunch. But, you know, you didn't hear that from me.
Well, we've got another caller on the line. I'm going to open their mic.
All right.
Caller, go ahead. Your mic is open.
Oh, hi. Michael Lombardo. This is Buzzsaw Beaner.
Oh, hello, Buzzsaw Beaner. How are you doing?
I was just wondering how you felt about the recent accusations that you've been swallowing Brian King.
Ooh. Well, the
what about your ties to these Ninja Star backyard wrestling matches?
So this is not the time or the place to discuss legal matters involving Brian King and cannibalism and my potential Ninja Star involvement, which is...
Well, I'm here to call you out. I want to know where your real royalties lie. Are they with the Buzzsaw on? Drunken Tentacles? Real Splatter? Where is it?
I can't answer these questions right now. I'm sorry.
You and me at the Kaiju Big Battle. Ninja Star Battle, 12 o'clock midnight. Be there.
Well, you know what? I hope that you bring a pre-sized casket because you're going to need it, buddy.
Now, is this a zombie duel or what?
You know, Kaiju Big Battle is actually a bunch of people that dress up in giant monster, Japanese giant monster costumes, and fight each other in big model cities. I've never Kaiju Big Battle before, but, you know, I'll try anything once, as my drunken tentacle comrade can attest.
You guys do have fun, don't you?
Oh, yeah, lots of fun.
Well, we've got three callers that are on the air. Do any of them have any other questions for Mike?
I have a question, Mike.
Okay.
Why do you keep making movies?
Why do I keep making movies? To entertain small children like yourself, Mr. Heimbach.
Thank you. That's what I needed to hear.
I feel that I make movies, for one, just to get every, like, a lot of the movies, I'm just dealing with personal issues and stuff that I need to get out, or my views on things. Most of the real Splatter movies are satire, and that's just how I express myself creatively. And if I can make a couple people laugh on the, you know, on the way, then all the better. That's pretty much why I continue to make movies.
Now, I had a question for you. Do you find that your writing and your producing of films as a way to exercise your demons, or simply a creative journey that you have to pursue?
I definitely say that it's a way to exercise my demons, or exorcise, rather, not exercise.
Right.
I don't take my personal demons to the gym with me.
Can I be your demon's father?
Yeah, you can do whatever you want, Heimbach, you know, as long as you got the cash. But I definitely use the writing of the movies and stuff to deal with a lot of stuff that's going on. Like, you can, I mean, Renee, you've read Play Place. Like, most of the 99% of that is just crap that I've dealt with over the years, and a lot of the stuff more recently that I just really needed to deal with, and writing it out seems to really help. Keen actually does the exact same thing, although I think much, much better. But he always talks about how it's cheaper than psychotherapy to just write about his problems, and I agree completely. I mean, thanks to Brian Keen, actually, on a serious note, I've actually been much more comfortable expressing myself, like, honestly, in my writing and stuff, as the afterword of Play Place. When everyone else gets to read that, they'll see I wouldn't have written that 2 years ago. I wouldn't have gone into such personal detail about my life and what influenced the story without having read Brian Keene's books and his blog and everything, because he is, like, I can't even believe some of the stuff that he writes. Like, he opens himself up to his fans so much that it's unbelievable, and that really inspired me to kind of do the same thing, and I found out that it's incredibly cathartic. I think anyone out there, a lot of people that have any type of personal or emotional problem, whatever, you know, write about it or find some sort of artistic or creative outlet to deal with it, and it's a fantastic thing. You know, your life will be much better for it.
I agree. So do you have any regrets with the choices that you've made?
Aside from joining Drunken Tentacle, not really. I think that for the most part, everything that I've done has led me to the point that I am right now, and pacing in my basement and, you know, talking to you. If I wouldn't have done, you know, 2 years ago, if I wouldn't have written something or went for a joke or something like that, I might not be talking to you right now. And that sort of, I guess, would be like the butterfly effect almost, that, you know, the way that your decisions, you know, affect your future in really small ways you could never know. I think about that sort of thing a lot, so I'm happy with who I am right now and what I'm doing. So I think that all of the decisions that I've made in my life, even good or bad, have brought me to this point. So I try to live without regret. it also helps because I'm a serial killer, and if I started to have regret, then, well, there'd be a big problem.
Well, if you're a serial killer, can I write your autobiography?
Of course you can. You can have the hardback deal. Heimlich's got the film rights, though, I'm afraid to say.
Shotgun.
I just want to write it.
Hey, that's fine. I can get my buddy Julius to do the cover artwork for it. And, you know, we'll have we can make some money and then hopefully produce play for that cash. I don't know if that's technically considered blood money, but yeah, we'll figure it out when the time comes. Not really important at the moment.
So looking ahead, where do you see yourself in 5-10 years?
I see myself 5-10 years. Hopefully not in my mom's basement. I'd like to be out on my own somewhere.
Alone, Garganos.
Yeah. maybe not working at a pizza shop, though there's nothing wrong with having a job like that if you need something to support yourself on the side, it's great. But I'd really like to try to get a job closer to the field of what I'm trying to do, or at least get regular work as a makeup artist or, you know, a filmmaker, you know, collaborating with people or whatnot, you know. So hopefully doing something along those lines. I mean, I'd like to say that in 10 years I see myself as the next Quentin Tarantino, but that would mean that I was a really bad hack and I make really bad movies that only Matt Blasi enjoys, and I wouldn't want that. So in 10 years, I hope to be me, but older.
I can guarantee that, Mike.
I should hope. If I live another 10 years, then I'd be very happy to be the exact same as I am now, but with a lot more experience under my belt. And maybe some popular movies would be nice, too.
Well, you never did answer my question. Are you going to stay on the East Coast or go back to the West Coast?
To finish that story, when I went out to California to see my cousin's movie set, I realized how much I despised Hollywood and Hollywood filmmaking. Even though it was an independent film, everyone that worked on that movie was only working on it because they were trying to get a leg up to get into real Hollywood productions. So basically that meant there was about 50 prima donnas walking around complaining that gourmet catering was late, and they didn't actually care about the project they were working on. They were just there because they wanted something else for their resume, which is the wrong reason to do it, I think. I mean, granted, those people will end up being much, much more successful in the future than I ever could hope to be, but I personally feel that working on independent sets works a lot better. I mean, you can have 5 people doing a job of 50 people if they care what's going on, and I can do that on the East Coast. The West Coast is full of people with really annoying attitudes about filmmaking and stuff. I didn't like it out there too much. I don't like the way that those sets run. I much prefer the backyard sort of thing.
Well, there is a lot of work being done on the East Coast, right?
Oh, yeah, there's tons of stuff. I mean, granted, the Romero movies are now, I think, being shot in Canada mostly, but, I mean, Pittsburgh was, like, a huge hub for filmmaking just because of George Romero, but, I mean, lots of movies come out of Pennsylvania, especially. I mean, we have, like, every type of terrain, and, you know, the East Coast is all sorts of great stuff. I mean, tons and tons of good stuff going on. New York is the other Hollywood.
Can you believe it? We only have 2 minutes left to the hour.
Ooh, wow.
Yeah. That's one of the quickest hours I think I've ever spent on here.
Well,
gosh.
That's how it works. So, anything to wrap it up?
I think we need to. Do you want to say anything like goodbye to all the good folks who showed up in the chat room tonight and called in? I really appreciate it.
Yep, what she said. I personally don't really care about any of you, but if it makes Renee happy to say that, then... Thank
Mike,
you
you'll always be fat to me. Just wanted to say it.
I appreciate that. Very much. Right. Thank you.
Love you. Kiss, kiss.
Everyone out there for coming in and hanging out with us and talking and stuff. Sorry about my inane rambling. Go to realsplider.com and check out the YouTube, watch the movies, subscribe to us. Everyone out there, email me with what you think of the movies. You know, I can't make more movies without knowing what you guys think of the other ones. You know, I want to get better and all that stuff, so... You know, just let me know what you think, let me know what you want to see, and hopefully I'll see you at the Lancaster County Film Festival, or Lancaster Area Film Festival, rather. And read Renee's book, because it's awesome, Murder, Madness, and Love.
Hey, guys, all of you show up for the Lancaster Area Film Festival. Mike deserves your support. Thanks for showing up tonight. I really appreciate it. And, Mike, you're a great guest. I got to have you on again.
You're a great host. Oh, yeah, definitely. Let me know. I will gladly waste an hour of everyone's time.
Oh, I love laughing. It's great. Remember, folks, you can check out his films at realsplatter.com. That's R EELSplatter.com. And everyone in the chat room, I really appreciate your being here. I'm glad we got the bugs worked out and we could hear and we could talk. So I do appreciate it. This is Renee's Book Talk. It's almost 10:30 on the East Coast. And I'll say next week we're going to have Tracy, a virtual promotion. And what she does is she gives authors a tour on the Internet. So check that out next week. That's May 7th. Can you believe it? It's already May. Remember, folks, these shows are archived, so if you came late, you can still hear the entire show. Just log on to my profile. That's here on blogtalkradio.com, Yolanda Renee. So this is Renee's Book Talk. I'm your host, Renee. Our guest, Mike Lombardo of Real Splatter Films. We're saying goodnight.
Hey, okay, goodnight, everyone. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, Mike, it was great.
Hey, it was a blast. I don't know how much of that hour actually ended up being questions and answers, but I think it yielded an interesting hour nonetheless.
I think it turned out really well. The folks in the chat room seem to be having a good time, and you got a lot of calls in, so you've got a lot of support out there, and hopefully that'll show this weekend when you're doing your film festival. And boy, I wish I could be there.
Oh, that's cool. You know, you've got your own thing going on, and you know, you gotta. Got to do what you got to do. You have an opportunity, you need to take it. And I really wish you the best of luck with selling those books.
Thank you. And I hope you sell lots of T-shirts. I got to get an order in for some. My sons are upset with me that I haven't gotten more of them yet. So.
Well, you know, I'll send you some at some point, I promise you. I just have to get around to doing it. I'm very lazy with the mail, but we'll get some sent out to you at some point. But, you know, there's going to be a lot of people at the film festival. I've already gotten tons and tons of confirmed people, but I mean, anyone that goes to the event that you're going to be at, if any of them have half a brain, they'll pick up your book, because it honestly was fantastic. I don't even read murder mysteries, and I was completely enthralled with it. I don't know if this is being recorded right now, so I'm not going to say anything about the ending, but I never saw it coming.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
And I really am looking forward to reading the next two entries, especially the second one, given the premise that you told me about in the email. I'm definitely excited about that. So I'm pretty happy. Any news on when any of that stuff's going to be published? Have you talked to any of those people yet?
I'm still in the middle of negotiations right now, so
Very cool. It's exciting.
It, like I said, when it rains, it pours, and I hope things keep going positive for you too.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, we're in this together. So any chance I can get to promote you, I will. I'll be talking about you a lot at the film festival, and you know, I'm hoping that we can get some people to sell some, or, you know, buy some books and buy some T-shirts and all sorts of good stuff, you know, because I think that you'd agree with me that making money with your work is better than not making money with your work.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I haven't made any yet, have you?
very, very. Well, actually, no, because I end up spending it on stupid stuff before the project or buying more T-shirts. And
yeah, I know what you mean. I spend it on printing more flyers.
Yeah, you know, promotion's expensive, but it's so much fun.
Yeah.
And I mean, at the end of the day, I'm just happy that people are watching my stuff. And I mean, obviously, I'm sure you're happy people are reading your stuff. Like, that's the best compliment I could ever get, is that someone spent the time to sit on YouTube for 20 minutes. And
that's what it's all about, isn't it? You just simply want to entertain. I know that's what I want to do. That's what I write for.
That's the best reason to do it. You know, if you go into it expecting to be a millionaire, you know, good luck. Either shack up with Stephen King or Quentin Tarantino, otherwise.
Well, you know, when we were talking about, you know, exercising the demons, mm-hmm. I wonder about Stephen King sometimes. He's got some major demons going on there.
Oh, yeah, and most of them actually come in the form of sentient trucks. I don't know. If he has a problem with motor vehicles stalking him on a regular, I know he got hit by a minivan, but
Yeah. Aside
from that, he's been writing books about killer vehicles for a long time, so, you know, we'll see.
Well, now let's look what you're saying. You got to be careful of those zombies out there, don't you?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I mean, I don't know if he's using his killer trucks as metaphors or something. My zombies are usually metaphors for mass conformity, which scares me to death,
mm-hmm.
and the mindless followers that are so prevalent in today's society, but as long as those mindless followers are following me, then I wouldn't have a problem with it. I'm actually going to start a Real Splatter cult. I didn't really get to cover that in the show, but eventually, you know, I'll
a
try
real
to bring
splatter cult. I like that.
I'll give you a whole branch devoted to it, and then you can have them sell your book while they're selling my T-shirts, and then we'll meet in the middle somewhere. I could see an empire stretching before us.
Oh, you are something else. I wish you all the luck in the world. I think you're going to meet every goal you've ever set for yourself and go above it. So good luck to you.
Thank you very much, Renee. And I will talk to you as soon as this archive is up. Let me know, and I will post it on the site and plug the hell out of you.
All right. Thanks.
Excellent. Good night, Renee. Thank you for having me on the show. Anytime you want me back, just let me know.
I will. Good night.
Talk to you later. Bye.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.